Morning, church. Would you stay in the house this morning? We want to welcome the presence of the Lord in this place. He is good. Amen.
I give you glory for all you brought me through. And now I'm ready to do whatever you want to do.
Yes.
These hands be clean and this heart be pure.
same God, you are the same God.
you touch the lepers there. I feel your touch right now. You are the same God. You are the same.
Give him another hand clap of praise today. Come on, how many know that we serve the same God? Scripture declares that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when we open up the pages of Scripture and we see how powerful and mighty our God is, how many know that he's not changed? He's still mighty and powerful today. Amen. So as we prepare to go to the Lord today in prayer, we just want to encourage you, whatever needs that you might have in your life today, to go and place those at his feet today, wrap them in faith, and let's just see what our mighty God can do. Amen? Amen. Let us pray today. Dear Heavenly Father, it is so good to be in the same place that you are in today, Lord God. We know that your word promises that when two or three are gathered in your name, when we exalt you and worship you, God, you said that you would be right in our midst today. So we welcome you into this place today. Your presence is what makes this atmosphere powerful and supernatural. And so today, Lord God, we want to connect with that. We want to connect with your power today. So Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, lifting up each one of us here today. God, you are a close and a personal God. You see the very needs of our lives, Lord. Some of us may have come in today, God, with hidden things going in our lives that no one else knows about. But we know that you see them. We know that you care for them, that you are a God of great compassion and care. And we declare finally, Jesus, that your name is more than enough to meet all of our needs today. So right now, we speak your mighty name over your people's lives today, over the needs that are represented here. And we pray that as we move throughout this time today, Lord God, that as we exalt you, that you would draw us in closer to your side, closer and nearer to your presence, Father. So we thank you again, and we're excited about all that you've prepared for us today. And we just pray and ask all of this in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Can we give him another hand clap of praise today? Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. It is so good to have you in the house of the Lord today. Thank you for being here. Before you're seated, if you would, please just take a moment and reach out and greet those nearby. God bless you. Have Pastor Lisa Howard, our youth pastor, that's coming at this time to share an announcement and also to lead us in prayer over a prayer need. So, all right, Pastor Lisa.
Pardon me. We have in the next couple of weeks, we have a bunch of high school kids and college kids that are heading back to school. So a couple college kids have already left. Those that have like positions, RAs and stuff like that, have already left. Many of them are leaving this week back to college, and I know at least one high school in the vicinity that is beginning this week, and the next, most of the schools are beginning next week. Do you want me to pray for just college or for high school and college and middle school? Everybody. All right. Well, we're just going to have all of the kids, all the adults, not the adults, whoever is going back to school, whatever grade that means. I know I went to school when I was really old, so, you know, you can stand up too because we need it more than they do, honestly, because sometimes it's harder when you're older. But if you're heading back to school this week or next, would you just go ahead and stand? Because I want to pray a blessing over you. Come on, there's got to be more than that going to school. You guys, I know you're going to school, okay? Come on. Oh, it's a good bunch of people right there. Father God, I lift up these young people and a few that don't feel quite so young anymore. And I ask you to bless the endeavors that you have placed before them. I know sometimes to many of them, they feel like, well, I have to go, and they feel like it's a prison sentence. Help them to remember, Father, that this is a job that you have placed before them, a job to do for you, to engage their minds, to create relationships with those around them, to be the light of you in a dark place. Maybe even they feel like it's not so dark a place. We thank you, Father, for setting Christian teachers and leaders around them that they can find strong Christian friendships even amongst a place where they thought it couldn't find, they couldn't find it. For those college kids setting off for the first time, Father, I ask that you encourage them to find a good church to attend, to come back here as often as possible, and let us re-encourage them and let us pray over them. Father, we covenant with you that we will continue to lift them up. We will continue to pray for them throughout this school year. Father, that they would know you deeper, that they would be able to trust you more, that they would see you work through them and in them, and through their friends and in their friends, through their teachers and in their teachers. May they see you change those classrooms, those relationships, those extracurricular activities that they find themselves in. That, Father, you set them on high, that they would be the head and not the tail, that they truly would put forth your presence everywhere they go, and people would say, I don't really know what's different about them, but I'm going to find out, and Father, they can walk them into your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's give all of our students a hand clap of appreciation. Thank you, Pastor Lisa. Congregation, would you stand with us once again? And I want to continue to remind you that you can give either online or by visiting one of the drop boxes that's located at the back of the sanctuary. And I want to invite Heidi to come back and lead us once again.
I agree. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Could you pause for just a moment? Lift your hearts toward heaven and tell the Lord Jesus that you love him today. Would you do that? Let's express our love and our devotion to the Lord right now. We love you, Lord Jesus. We praise you and thank you for being our Savior today, for the privilege of knowing that we're going to be able to live forever with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here in this sanctuary today, O Lord, the moving, the working of your Holy Spirit in our midst. Thank you for drawing near to us, O Lord. Another evident sign of your love is your presence in our midst this morning. We declare, Lord, as we've sung today, that you are an awesome God. You are the same God today as ever, and you are able today to meet us, Lord, at the point of our need. And so, Father, thank you that you are covering us today. You are supplying for us today. You are working in us right now, Lord. Thank you for the good plans and purposes you have for every person in this room this morning. Lord, we welcome your presence. We welcome your work. We welcome your intervention into our lives right now. We thank you for the good plans you have for us today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Isn't the Lord good? Amen. You may be seated this morning, and good morning, everybody. What a great day it is in the house of the Lord this morning. Presence of the Lord is here, and the people of God are worshiping and praising and full of God's joy today. Amen. And it is a great day to be together with the family of God this morning. We're looking to John chapter 5 today, beginning with verse number 1. John chapter 5, verse number 1. Thank you, Lord. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Today we're beginning a new series of messages entitled Ready with Answers, as we deal with some of the common questions, at least the way they are posed in the scriptural stories. We're looking at questions asked of the Christian by a curious world about our faith in Jesus, about our relationship with Jesus, about the work of Jesus in our lives. The Apostle Peter charged us to be ready always to give an answer when someone asks about our faith. Now, hear me this morning. If you hide your faith, no one's ever going to ask you about it. But if you wear your faith on your sleeve and on your face and everywhere else, If you are a bold Christian believer who lives out loud for the Lord Jesus, then people are eventually going to ask you about your faith and your relationship. They may pose it in a variety of different ways. They may ask what religion you are part of. They may ask a variety of different questions, but they're asking really about what has changed your life. So we're going to look at some interesting questions in the pages of Scripture. This morning we begin with the question that is the title of our message today, as we hear the Jewish leadership ask a man who has just been healed by Jesus and who has, he's been an invalid for 38 years. This perhaps is the first time he's been able to pick up his mat. And he picks up his mat and is moving about on the Sabbath day. And the Jewish leaders asked him, "Who told you to pick up your mat and walk?" Now, we'll examine the reason for their question a little further, a little bit later. But ultimately, we're going to examine that question as sort of a launching point for considering these kinds of questions that people sometimes ask or at least wonder about Christian believers. Questions like this: who told you that you could start over after the kind of life you've lived? Who gave you permission to rise up and live a brand new life? Who authorized you to feel like you're forgiven so that you can sing and shout and act like you've never done anything wrong? Who gave you permission to come out of the place that you were in and come into a brand new place? Who has made this difference in your life? And ultimately, who authorized you to live a life in the freedom and the joy of the Lord? Who told you to pick up your mat and walk? Sometimes we think about people who have been through the same crisis and trial and drama over and over and over again, and now they seem to be coming out of that, and even we as their fellow Christians sometimes think, oh, well, let's watch and see how long it lasts this time. Have you ever thought that about somebody? Oh, yeah, let's see if it really works this time. Oh, they've been here 12 times before saying they're going to serve the Lord. Oh, we'll believe it when we see. How many of you understand that God can do a miracle in our lives when we're ready to get well? And when we're ready to take hold of Jesus and his life-changing power, he is able to give us a brand new lease on life and a brand new start in life. I don't care how many times you've tried and failed, Jesus can make the difference for you to start over today. Could I have a better amen? And so this morning I want to examine this great story, one of my favorite stories in the Gospel of John, about a man who is healed by Jesus, the controversy that follows his healing, and then I want us to examine some principles for living today. We begin by looking at this story, and this story contains for us today five basic chapters as we follow the story along. The first chapter is hurt, heartache, hopelessness. I suppose this story is infused with a little bit of hopefulness, but again and again that hopefulness is dashed against the rocks as people express a little bit of hope in some unusual mystical cure, and then their hopes are dashed to the ground. So we find ourselves in the midst of a story today where there are a whole lot of people gathered around. You know, misery loves company. And they're gathered around this pool of water, and people are, the Bible says, are sick, blind, paralyzed. They're in bad shape. They are hurting. But the first thing we notice in this story is that Jesus was present amidst the hurt. I want you to know this morning, whatever you may be experiencing in life, the Lord Jesus is not too far away. He is as close as the mention of his name, and Jesus invades this place of hurt and heartache in our story this morning. Verse 1 says, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. There is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda. Bethesda means house of mercy, house of mercy. This pool was called Bethesda, and around it, it was surrounded by five covered colonnades, and around it gathered a great number of disabled people. They used to lie there, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. Now, we know about this pool from history, from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, from biblical archaeology. I think we have a few pictures ready this morning as we take a moment to move there. David, do we have those ready? This is a model of the ancient city, the New Testament city of Jerusalem. You can visit this model if you visit the city of Jerusalem. One of the most stunning experiences you could ever visit is this large model. You see the people up here looking down on the model. Here is a model. There we have the temple structure. See the temple right up here. And down below we have the pool of Bethesda. Here we have the northern pool, the upper pool, and the southern pool, the lower pool, the pool of Bethesda, a two-tiered pool that was built in the 8th century BC and served as a water reservoir for the city of Jerusalem. Water came in, they stored water there, and water could be used for the city. This pool, the upper pool, is the pool which we are examining today in our story. Look to the next picture, please. Here is a rendition of what it might have been like for people to be sitting around the pool, some in the water. Go ahead to the next picture. There it is again, another picture of maybe what was happening. And the last picture here is a picture that I, of the ruins of the Pool of Bethesda as they look today. The Pool of Bethesda is there in Jerusalem. I had the privilege on two occasions of visiting the ruins of the Pool of Bethesda, and to be there and to understand that it was there where Jesus performed a mighty miracle is a pretty powerful experience. And we look at this today to remind ourselves that our God is a God of history, and as the song declared this morning, He is the same God now. Would you say amen? And so Jesus was present there as people were gathered around the pool and as they were hurting and waiting. And we know they were waiting there for some kind of a mystical experience. We'll look at it in just a moment, but we know that as Jesus was there, Jesus was probing into the crowd. Verse 5 says, one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years, and when Jesus saw him lying there, he learned that he had been in this condition for a long time. Jesus sees the crowd, and Jesus sees the one, doesn't he? He sees every individual person, and Jesus is investigating. As Jesus invades the hurt now, Jesus brings healing. Notice that Jesus confronted this man who was lying there. Verse 6 says, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked the man, do you want to get well? Now that's a big question, isn't it? And that's an important question. Most of us would say, well, the answer is obvious. But perhaps not everybody wants to get well. Sometimes people enjoy their condition, enjoy their situation. They are satisfied with what they've got, and they have no real drive or compulsion to move to the next level. The truth is, are you listening this morning? Many people don't even realize how sick they are. They have become accustomed to living in particular ways. We're looking at a physical miracle in the story today, but we're going to work to spiritualize this story as well. I think you can understand that many people, though they might not be sick physically, are sick spiritually, they are sick emotionally, they are sick relationally, they are sick in many categories of life. They have failed to realize just how sick they are, and they feel no compulsion to move to the next level of healing and health. And Jesus asked this man in his condition. In fact, 38 years he's been an invalid. Maybe he's forgotten what it's even like to live a normal. Maybe he never lived. Maybe he's 38 years old and his whole life has been marked by this condition. We don't know, but 38 years is a lifetime, that's for sure. And he's been sick with this condition, and Jesus asks him the question, do you want to get well? And notice, Jesus then considered the man's complaint. Verse 7, the man answers Jesus, sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Now we see that something was going on at this pool. At least there was a perception of something supernatural taking place. The man refers to the waters being stirred. Now you might notice if you're looking in your scripture text that we are missing verse number 4 from the New International Version and from every other modern version of scripture, because verse number 4, though it's in the King James Version, was a scribal addition that is not contained in any of the early manuscripts of scripture, but a scribal gloss, we call it, in verse number 4 would have said, from time to time an angel came down and stirred the waters so that whoever would get into the waters first would be healed. We don't know, because that's not in the original text, we don't know that that was happening, but we know something was happening in the view, in the consideration of everybody present. They were all scrambling to get into the water. Now, how many of you have ever played musical chairs? Let me see your hand. Anybody played musical chairs? Wouldn't it be a sad reality if you had to beat everybody into the water in order to get anything from God? Some of us are just naturally slower. If we had to run a foot race this morning, you can bet your bottom dollar that I would be watching rather than running in the foot race today. Some of us are slower than others, and some of us, as this man, have nobody to help us in the process. And so the man complains, whatever is going on in the water, he's tried to get in the water many times. But no one's there to help him, and every time he's ever tried for many years to get into the water, someone beats him into the water. Was that someone healed? Well, we don't know the rest of the story. There's some mystery in the story. One thing we do know, this man was never healed in that process. This man needed more than a mystical religious experience, this man needed more than what the religion of the day could offer him. This man needed a miracle from God. He needed something from God. And so Jesus confronted him, he considered his complaint. And then Jesus commanded him, verse number 8, then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Pick up your mat and walk. Now the mat becomes a big deal in this story. We might not really even take notice of the mat, except that the mat is what becomes a really big controversy in the story. And Jesus tells the man specifically and directly, pick up your mat and walk. What was that mat? Well, it was a blanket or something that the man was lying on. We see other mats in the New Testament record. People who are lying there on their mat. If you've ever gone on a picnic and taken a blanket along, you know what it is to sit there on your blanket. So this man, you know, he's an invalid. He has to sit there all the time. Isn't it nice to be able to have a mat to sit on at least? Okay? And so Jesus says, pick up your mat and walk. And verse number 9 says, Jesus cured him. At once, the man was cured. I want you to notice now, the man can do multiple things that he could not do before. Number 1, he can stand up. He could not do that before. Number 2, he can walk. He could not do that before. And number 3, he can carry his mat. And he hadn't been able to carry his mat around. He was an invalid lying on that mat. He did not even have enough physical capability to really get down into the pool. Maybe he tried to, you know, crawl himself along. We can only imagine the story, but the reality is this man was desperate, and Jesus met him in his desperate situation, and Jesus provided the cure that nobody else could provide. Hallelujah. Listen to me this morning. I want you to know Jesus is the answer for the world today. People are looking everywhere for some kind of answer for their broken lives. Jesus is the answer. And Jesus brought healing. And point number three, Jesus brought hope. He brought hope to this man who had hitherto been hopeless. Notice new health and fortitude arrived. John verse 5, verse 9 says, he picked up his mat. And new hope for the future arose as well. He picked up his mat and walked. I remember an old song that we sang as kids, a sort of a fun Southern gospel-y song that says, I'm gonna walk right out of this valley, lift my hands and praise the Lord. Ain't gonna let old Satan get me down, down, down. Why should I sit here till I die? Heaven's awaiting just a little bit higher. I'm gonna walk right out of this valley with my Lord. And this man picked up his mat and walked. And I want to tell you, friends, he got out of there. I'm telling you, he got out of there. He moved his way beyond the Pool of Bethesda out into the streets of Jerusalem. This man got out of there. He had a new lease on life. He had a new hope for the future. He could now move and live and breathe and have his being. He could pursue a new path in life. He wasn't stuck in a rut anymore. Now he had his full mobility and he was moving about, walking through the city of Jerusalem. How many of you know Jesus gets us out of the rut and gets us going again? Amen. And this man was on the move again. Hallelujah. He had new hope. Hope brought through the miracle working power of Jesus. The next chapter in the story is very unfortunate. Chapter 4, harassment. Just as the man is experiencing his newfound freedom in the Lord Jesus, he begins to be harassed by none other than the religious crowd. And notice his new life was met with spiritual ignorance and insensitivity. Verse 9 says, the day on which this took place was a Sabbath. Everybody say the word Sabbath. What was the Sabbath? No, the Sabbath is not Sunday. The Sabbath in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and even today, the Sabbath is the seventh day. It's the seventh day. The Old Testament law commanded the Jewish people to rest on the Sabbath day and not do any work. They were to rest on the Sabbath day, the seventh day, as a remembrance that God rested from his work on the seventh day as well. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. God said, let there be, and there was. 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, God rested from his work. And so God commanded the Israelites, the Jewish people, to rest on the seventh day, not do any work. But the religious leaders exaggerated that law, extrapolated from that law. The religious leaders built a whole system of do's and don'ts around that law. It's as if I said to you today, nobody is allowed to step onto the platform. What if I made a new rule that said, nobody is allowed to step onto the platform, and ultimately the religious people in the bunch said, well, nobody can come within 6 feet of the platform. Do you get that? The rule was you can't step on the platform. Suddenly, now there's a whole religious system that says nobody can get within 6 feet of the platform. Then it moves beyond that. Nobody can sit on the front row. Eventually, how many of you know, if you build your own religion, eventually nobody is even allowed in the building because the religious rules keep expanding and expanding. For the Jewish leaders of Jesus' day, they had built this entire system of buffers around the law of Moses so that the people were forbidden from doing all kinds of things that were never outlawed in the law of Moses. It was like a buffer zone so that you didn't come close to doing anything. The law had said you cannot do any work on the Sabbath day, and by the time this Jesus healed this man, the religious leaders had developed this rule: you cannot carry your mat on the Sabbath day. There are a whole lot of lists of other things that they outlawed on the Sabbath day, but for this particular story, you cannot carry your mat on the Sabbath day. Let me just tell you, we see it in other miracles of Jesus performed on the Sabbath day that the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they believed that nobody should even perform a healing on the Sabbath day. Okay? So the reality of this reaches beyond the man carrying his mat all the way to the work of healing that has taken place here. The religious leader said nobody should do any work. That includes don't speak a word of healing. In one story where Jesus healed a man, the leader of the local Jewish synagogue said, come and be healed on the other 6 days. Don't come on the Sabbath day expecting any healing. How many of you know if the only day that you could not be healed was the religious day where everybody met for church, that would be quite a sight. Wouldn't that be terrible? What if we said to all of you today, well, the only day that you can't experience any healing or touch from God is on Sunday when we come together to worship. How many of you know you'd find a different church? How many of you, when we come together to worship the Lord as the body of believers, we want the Lord to work? But the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they didn't want healing to take, they didn't want any work taking place on the Sabbath, although we will find out that even the most religious among them would do work that was necessary to keep their farm animals alive and their farm work up to, they would do things that they wanted to do. But they made all of these religious rules that made it hard on the people to experience or even to appreciate the work of God. This man, as he's walking around with his mat, his new life was met with spiritual ignorance and insensitivity. Verse 9, the day on which this took place was a Sabbath day. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. No, it did not. That was their creation, their expansion of the law. The law forbids you to carry your mat. But he replied, well, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. Now the religious leaders have two focuses, two enemies to focus on. One, the man carrying his mat. Two, the one who did such a mighty miracle so that he could carry his mat. How many of you know if you're in that kind of a religion, you're in the wrong religion? And here they are, now they're going to pick up on that. So his new life was met with, secondly, was met with spiritual interrogation. Verse 12, so they ask him, well, who is this fellow who told you to pick up your mat and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. And the man has no answer. I don't know who he was. Somebody told me to pick up my mat and walk, and here I am. I've got my mat in hand, but I don't know who it was. And he's harassed by the religious leaders. The story closes with Jesus encountering the man once again, and Jesus teaching the man how to hold on to health. Because how many of you know, if you've received such a great miracle of deliverance and freedom from the Lord, you want to hang on to it. Isn't that right? Some of you here today know what it is to have come out of real darkness when you came to faith in Christ, and Jesus has made a radical difference in your life. Is there anybody like that? I know there are people who have come out of very difficult situations, and Jesus has made a radical difference in your life. And the best thing you can do is hold on to the work of Jesus with all of your might. Don't let it go. Don't let it slip through your fingers. No. The healing power, the delivering power, the work of Jesus is a good, stable, sturdy work. But you've got to hang on to it. And we hear Jesus now meet the man again. Notice the man was instructed by Jesus. Verse 14. Later, Jesus found him where? At the temple. He had certainly meandered away from the pool of Bethesda. Jesus finds him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." Look up at me, friends. Look up at me. This is a little instruction tucked down into the middle of the Gospel of John that I believe is one of the most important instructions that any Christian believer could ever get a hold of. Are you hearing me this morning? Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. So many people receive a work from God, but they turn right back around. They plunge right back into that old sinful life. And what happens when they plunge right back into that sinful life? They fall right into the same old bondage. Are you here? They fall right into the same disability, into the same trap, into the same trouble. Their lives are covered again. Peter talks about people who have been freed by the Lord, but then they are entangled again in the things of the world. Jesus says to the man, "Stop sinning." I don't know what brand of sinning this man was involved in. The scripture doesn't tell us. But for some reason, Jesus found it necessary to tell the man to leave his life of sin. Now think about this man. He had been an invalid for 38 years. He had been lying at the pool of Bethesda for who knows how long, stuck on his mat. What kinds of sin do you think this man might have been involved in? I don't know. It's hard to say, but I can tell you this. You can live a life of sin without lifting one finger or taking one step. Your heart can be filled with sin. Your mind can be filled with sin. Are you awake this morning? And Jesus said to the man, "Stop sinning, or something worse may come upon you." What's worse than being an invalid, unable to move? Well, dying and going to hell, for one thing. Isn't that right? Yeah. Whatever the worst was, Jesus warned the man that he could lose the blessing he has received if he refused to stop living a life of sin. So he's instructed by Jesus, and notice then, he went on his way, identifying Jesus. Verse 15, the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. And so the hero in the story today is the Lord Jesus. Again, how many of you know he's always the hero in every story where we find him? Jesus is always the Lord. He is the liberator. He is the Savior. He is the healer. He is the helper. He is the hero. And when we hear the question, "Well, who told you to pick up your mat and walk?" The answer is, "Jesus, the Son of God, told me this." It's Jesus. It's Jesus who's changed my life. So the answer to today's question is simple. The answer is Jesus. Now let's look at six practical takeaways this morning from this story. Number one, no condition is too chronic or crippling when Jesus is involved. He is a miracle worker and a life changer. Yeah, do you believe that today? And he can do all, nothing is impossible with God. He is able. People may be trapped in the deepest, darkest dungeons, but Jesus can break the bars and set the prisoner free. Yes? Do you believe with me this morning that Jesus can heal any sickness? Do you believe with me this morning that Jesus can break any drug addiction? I said, do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus can heal anybody's brokenness and bring them into freedom and joy and new life? Do you believe that Jesus can take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it all around and make it into good? Do you believe that? Yeah. Jesus is able. I want to urge you today, don't give up on what Jesus is able to do for you, and don't give up on what Jesus is able to do for others. Don't write anybody off, because I want you to know, Jesus is able. Not only that, Jesus desires to move in anybody and everybody's life who wants to get well. Are you here? He desires to do that. So you got some situation that you're aggravated with involving somebody else, don't write them off. The Lord is able. I said the Lord is able. You might be so tired of it, but I want you to know, I don't know if Jesus gets tired of things or not, but he doesn't give up on us as long as there is any hope that we will desire to get well at all. He, Jesus, is able to change us. No condition is too chronic. Point number two. Rising from a long-term rut requires cooperation with Jesus. You must be willing to get well and move forward. And sometimes we need to just take a good look into the mirror of the Word of God and see where we need the healing and the change of Jesus, and then we need to move in a path toward pursuing the help and the healing and the deliverance of Jesus so that we can run. Sometimes, are you listening this morning? Sometimes we have stunk so long that we don't even know we stink. But people around us know. Are you here? Are you awake this morning? Sometimes we don't even know how much we need. Sometimes people become so broken and damaged and dysfunctional, and they've begun to see all of that as normal, when the reality is, if we look into the Word of God and the mirror of the Word of God, we will realize there's so much, there's so much more here that I could be enjoying and experiencing. If I could just get healed from all of this, and if I could get delivered, and if I could have these chains broken off of my life. Friends, listen, we've got to want to get well and move forward. Part of that process, listen to me, part of that process is just launching into an effort to grow in the Lord. Because whether you want to define yourself as broken in any category or not, every Christian believer has room to grow in the Lord and to grow to the next level, right? Every Christian could smell a little sweeter. Isn't that right? So rising from that rut requires cooperation with Jesus. You got to want to get well. Number three, religious rituals and recipes are no answers for lifelong debilitating conditions. The power of Jesus is the answer. And listen, we need more of Jesus today, not less of Jesus. Are you listening today? Jesus is the answer. Number four, Jesus is the authorizer of new life, new hope, new direction, and new future. He says, pick up your mat and walk. I'm reminded this morning of the great story of the prodigal son. As that younger son, the prodigal son, is out in a foreign land, spending his father's wealth, ultimately spending his wealth away in wild, sinful living, finds himself in a pig pen, becomes so desperate that he comes to his senses, turns around, and makes his way home to the Father. I'm reminded of the Father's response when the Son makes his way home. The Father sees that prodigal son from a long way off, and what does he do? He runs to meet the prodigal son. He embraces him and welcomes him immediately back into the family. Meanwhile, the older brother is at home, and when the older brother sees what's happening, the older brother is filled with bitterness and anger and aggravation and judgmentalism. And the older brother says he doesn't have a right to come back into this family. Well, the good news for us this morning is that Jesus is the one who authorizes us. When Jesus says you can come back into the family, we can come back into the family. Oh yeah, you may have somebody sitting over on the side of the sanctuary looking at you with a critical eye saying, oh, it's going to be the same old story again and again. Don't you pay any attention to the critics. You pay attention to Jesus. You enter back into the family of God. You receive the work of God in your life. You pick up your mat and walk forward. You move in the direction the Lord Jesus is moving you. And let the Lord Jesus determine your worth and your value, yes, and your potential, yes. Let the Lord Jesus determine your potential for the future. He authorizes new life for us. It says, pick up your mat and walk. Number five, when Jesus gives you a new lease on life, treasure it. Don't go backward. Don't mess up your new life with sin. And number six, live out your new life in Christ in such a way that people will want to know the source of your miracle for themselves. And when they say, well, who's, man, you've really changed. What's happened to you? Don't say like the man in this story did in the first chat. Don't say, well, I don't know what's happened to me, no. When somebody said, what has happened to you? You have really changed. The answer is Jesus has changed my life. I'm a brand new person living a brand new life, amen, with a brand new future and brand new possibilities ahead of me. With Jesus, my future looks bright as the sunshine. Yes. I was lost and undone. I was blind. And on the outside, I was sunk in the mud. But Jesus lifted me up out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a solid rock. He gave me a song to sing in my mouth, a new direction, a new future, a new life to live. Jesus is the author of my brand new life. He deserves the praise and the worship and the testimony. It's Jesus who can make a difference, and it's Jesus who deserves the credit. Who told you to pick up your mat and walk? Jesus, the great miracle worker. Amen and amen. Stand together, please, everybody.